And let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 tonight. 1 John chapter 2, ongoing study. I'm going to try to use that at some point. Since I'm right-handed, I'm going to move over here. 1 John chapter 2, let me read a little bit from where we left off in our last study, and we'll pick up from there. Let's start in verse 18. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it's the last time. And as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who's a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. We're going to stop there. I don't think I'm going to get to that place, to that point tonight. I want to start with getting you to think a little bit about something. Mama goes to the medicine cabinet. Mama goes to the medicine cabinet and she pulls out some old adult medicine for her little one. She then gives the medicine to the little one because she sincerely believes that the medicine is going to work for her little one, but it almost kills the child. A dad hears a sound in the house. It's late. Early in the morning. Hears a sound in the house. He jumps up out of bed. He believes it to be an intruder. Goes to where the noise came from. Unbeknownst to him, his daughter has gotten up. She's gone to the kitchen for a snack. She has completed the task. She's turned the light out and is now headed through the dark back to her bedroom. The father, believing that there's an intruder, sees a dark shape and fires upon the intruder. He's sincere. Mama was sincere. She sincerely thought that she would be helping her child, but it turned out differently. The daddy was sincere in believing that there was an intruder in the house, but it turns out that that was not in fact the case. He's very sincere in what he believed, but he was very wrong. It takes more than sincerity to make something true. And faith in a lie has a consequence. And we're turning kind of a corner here in what John is trying to present to us in this little epistle of his. He wants us to get what he's brought before us, but now he's adding a new element in there. When he started out in the letter here, the church had some conflicts and some things going on. And so the first thing that he hits there is he hits the conflict between light and dark. Between being in the light and walking in the light and walking in darkness. Then he moves over and talks about the conflict between love and hatred and how we're to love the brethren. And that no matter what takes place, that love is still supposed to be there. No matter how it plays out, that love is supposed to be there. So he's talked about the conflict between light and darkness, and he's talked about the conflict between love and hatred. But now he puts it on another ground and says that's not enough. He said that's a good start, but there has to be something further, a foundation under all of that, because sincerity alone is not enough. And so when he comes to this point now, what he's saying is that sincerity alone is not enough. You have to base that upon something, and that has to be based upon what? Truth. You have to have that based on, you have to have that hooked up on the truth. Okay? If you don't hook it up on the truth, all the sincerity in the world is not going to do you any good. And this is the point that he's trying to make, and this is where he moves from here. Let's go into the 18th verse. Little children, this is not the born ones that he's talking about. This, in this particular case, as we've looked at last week, when he's talking to little children here, he's talking to those that are weak. He's talking to those that are in the family, but they're weak. They haven't got their legs under them. They haven't got the understanding of things as they should have, or as the hope is that they will progress and eventually have here. And so he's talking to spiritual babies right here. And as he's talking to these spiritual babies, it's basically a wake-up call. So he's gone through and said your sincerity, and you need to be walking in the light, and you need to be loving your brothers. And if you don't and you hate them, well, then, you know, you're not wired up and hooked up right. And, you know, if you're following the things of darkness and all of this. And so he's talking about that sincerity and that sincere level. And then he comes up to this point right here and he says, now you need to wake up, you little spiritual babies. You need to wake up, because there's something you have to understand. It's not child's play anymore. That there is serious business that needs to be transacted here. There are serious things that we need to look at, you little spiritual babies here. Wake up. It's the last time. Spiritual babies, it's the last time. Now I'm going to stop right there, because we're going to have to kind of take a look at that. It's the last time. What is he getting at when he's talking about this last time? Here at this point. Well, the Bible speaks about the last time a lot. And it calls it by different terms in different places. And what we need to understand is that there's a difference in the way that it's looked at with last time in the Old Testament and last time in the New Testament. And this is an important distinction that we have here. There are a lot of folks that are that misunderstand what the church is and where the church comes from and where the church fits into things, and how Israel is going to be dealt with and how Israel fits into things and such as that. And this is one of those places right here where it gives a kind of a clear distinction between the two as well. The last time. And so when we take a look at this, the first thing I need you to understand, that every time you're looking at that term last time, latter times, last days, last day, these terms that we have, one of the things that you have to make sure that you're doing is looking at it in its context. Because that's about the only way you're going to be able to tell what we're talking about and what's in view whenever he begins to talk about the last time. And so he's talking to spiritual babies. And he's telling these spiritual babies, it is the last time. In the Old Testament, the Bible was broken into this present age and the age to come. A simple breakdown of time. Old Testament time. I can show you in the New Testament, real simple passage that tells us about that time and the way that it's put there. If you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 12 for just a moment. I'll just use one verse here. I'm not going to build an exhaustive case here tonight. I just want to show you where we're coming from and get it down to the last time. Get this idea into our mind of what he's really pointing at with all of this. over in Matthew chapter 12. And the Lord is speaking in the 32nd verse. There's several times that the Lord makes these statements about different things here. You have to understand that when he's talking here in Matthew chapter 12, this is prior to the cross. Best I remember, he's a Jew. And talking to Israel and folks in this area. And so when he gets to verse 32, he says, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost," which was not given at this point, none of these things he's talking about are given at this point, "it shall be shall not be forgiven him." And in this dispensation, in this time that he's talking in, he says, "Neither in this world," which that term right there is talking about age, "neither in this age, neither in the age to come." Okay? So, olam, the olam, that's the Hebrew term that is used multiple times in the Old Testament. Many times in the Old Testament, the word olam or age, present age and age to come is, the King James uses forever in that place. Instead of age, the present age and the age to come. And so it's not readily apparent in many places, but this is the way that time was broken down for the Israelite. This is the way that time was broken down. This present age and the age to come. So when you're looking in the Old Testament and thinking about how they're thinking through things, this is the way that that Israelite is thinking. The present age, and then there's an age to come. Now, when you're looking at the age to come in the Old Testament talks to us about prior to the age to come, there being a judgment that takes place. Many passages talk about this judgment that's coming. There's a present age, there is an age to come, and prior to that age to come, there's some judgment that's going to take place. That's going to clear the air, that's going to get things kind of worked out, if you will. They just call that present age, and they call it the age to come, and this judgment takes place sometime in that present age. The end of that judgment will be the beginning of the age to come. Okay? And so, we've got the breakdown, age to come, in the Old Testament economy there. Go back with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 4 for a minute. Everybody okay? You still with me? Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want to take a look at verse 29 following. "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, and he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." So we've got the present age and the age to come, and in the last days of the present age, those last days, those latter days of the present age, it says that there's going to be a time of tribulation. Okay, a time of tribulation for the Israelite, and then the age to come will be ushered in at that point. Okay, so when you're talking about the last days in the Old Testament and the last days in the New Testament, I'm going to show you here in a little bit, they're not the same. We're not talking about the same thing. The context will tell us different, and the order of events is different with things there. But this is what I want you to see over in the old book. Tribulation in the latter days. Tribulation at the end of the present age. Who is this for? It's for Israel. Not for the church. This is who is in view with all of this. Now take a little trip over to Daniel for just a minute. Daniel chapter 2. Take a look down at the 28th verse of the second chapter. It says, "But there's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. He's talking about prophecy. He's talking about things that are going to come at a future time pertaining to the latter days there. Go to the 10th chapter of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. Not trying to do an exhaustive study here, by the way. We're just kind of hitting high spots as we go through here on this. All right. Daniel chapter 10. Take a look at verse 14. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. All right. The present age, the latter days, at the end of the present age that will usher in for the Israelite the age to come. Moving on to Daniel chapter 12 for just a moment. Take a look at the first verse to set the table. Verse 1 says, And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was. In the previous passages, it talks about the latter days. In this particular place right here, it's going to talk about a time of trouble such as never was. You can put an equal mark between the two. Latter days and a time of trouble such as never was. Same thing he's talking about. Same judgment that's going to come at the end of this present age. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Take a look at verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Verse 9. And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Verse 13. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Go to Jeremiah for just a moment. Flip back just a little bit. He'll give us a picture of this as well. Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30 is a good place to be. Look in verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. My understanding is that Daniel was reading this as he began to take a look at some of the prophecies that he began to espouse in his book. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, We've heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness, paralyzed with fear, child travail, all of these things. And this is talking about that time of trouble such as never was, the latter days, the last times that we've already taken a look at. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And now we're going to get another name for it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. And so you can put an equal mark out there with that one too. The latter days, the time of trouble such as never was. The time tribulation, according to one place, and the time of Jacob's trouble. All of these pointing to the same period, the same point at the end of the present age. Okay? For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Hello, that's a good one. Go on down in the chapter. Go to the 23rd verse. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. Part of the purpose of the tribulation is obviously going to be to bring Israel back to the Lord. Okay? That's part of the purpose, not complete the complete thing, but it is part of a big part of it is to bring Israel back to the Lord. This judgment at the end of this present age is designed to get them right in order that they may rule and reign with Him in the age to come. Okay? That next dispensation, that next age that he talks about. Now, I'm going to put that up here, if I can, makes any kind of sense of out of that. And so what we have is a timeline. And we have this timeline that moves forward here, stops and moves forward again. We have in one side of it, we have present age. It will have an end, and then there will be an age to come. Old Testament way of looking at things right here. Scripture tells us that in the latter days of the present age, there will be a time at the latter end of it that will come in, and that it will usher in the age to come, this judgment time. We know that to be the time of Jacob's trouble, the latter times, the last days, the tribulation. We're going to name that the tribulation. Fair enough? Because that's what is talked about. Okay? And the purpose, or a great big piece of the purpose here for the Old Testament individual, the Israelite, is to turn them to the Lord so that they can go into the age to come with the progeny of David on the throne and usher in this kingdom that he has promised. He's made these promises to Israel that these things are going to come to pass just exactly like this. Now, we're going to take off from there and we're going to go back to the New Testament now and take a look. Yes, sir. Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly what that is. Okay. Now let's go back and take a look at the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we have passages that tell us of the last days and of the last times. Last time. It calls it several different things down through here. And in 1 John 2:18, we have that before us. It is the last time. My little children, my spiritual babies, it is the last time. Time, he's telling them. Now, this has taken place almost 2,000 years ago that John is talking to his little babies there. Okay? Talking to his little babies there that this is the last time here at this point. All right? Now, let's go to Hebrews for just a moment. We studied this a while back. I'll just kind of remind you of this that we've already looked at. Hebrews chapter 1. Says God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so he says that we're talking about the last days, and we're talking about it in a context. And the context that we have here in Hebrews chapter 1, if you want to go back and check the tape, we spent about two weeks right here on this particular breakdown with all of this. And nailing down the fact that there was a new day that was ushered in at the death of Jesus Christ, that he did all that he did on the cross of Calvary, and the result of that is that when we are born again, that the Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells us, unites us in a body, unites us as a church. It's a new day that has occurred. Okay? It is a new day. It is also the last days. Pentecost ushered in that new day, and it will continue until something else happens. Okay? And so, we're talking about the last days covering this period of time from the beginning of the church, beginning of the church age, until something different takes place on the far end. Let's take a look over at 1 Peter for just a moment. And he'll say pretty much the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 1. Go back to 18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Last times, last time, latter days. Here in the New Testament, we're talking about the church age. We're talking about that being that coming in at the moment that the Holy Spirit is given, and then running until some period at the far end of it. So, obviously, when we're talking here, we're not talking about tribulation. We're not talking about the same thing that the Old Testament is talking about when he's talking about the last times and the latter days here in the New Testament, right? We're talking about back in John's day. We're talking about back in the beginning of Christianity. So we're not the tribulation has not come. This time of Jacob's trouble has not come. This time of trouble such as was never seen before has not come. And so it can't be talking about that. It's talking about another time. It's talking about something different, another age that has been interjected into the timeline, into the picture that we have before us here. So what is it? Well, it's the church age. Go back to Daniel 9 for just a moment. We'll come back over here in the new in just a minute. We're going to take a look over there, piece that we didn't look at just a moment ago. And we're going to catch up with that and pick that up now. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. Daniel's studying along and he's been shown some stuff. Okay? He's been shown some stuff here. All right? About what's going to happen beyond this time. He's been seeing that the captivity is about to end, and then God just loads him down with stuff to be able to pass on. He says, 70 weeks, 70-somethings, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, I'm not going to get into all the big details of everything here, but when we're talking about these 70 weeks, what he's talking about is he's talking about the present age. Okay? He's talking about the time of this present age right here being 70 weeks. Okay? That 70 weeks are determined. That 77s of some kind are going to be the picture that we have for the totality of the present age. It's going to start here and it's going to go to this period of time, 70 weeks. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. How many weeks is that? That's 69. 69 periods of time until the coming of Messiah. These are the numbers of these things. The Messiah is going to come. It's going to be a 69-week period of time. And the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And so it's talking about some things that are going to happen after that. Messiah's going to come. He's going to be cut off, but not for himself. And so what it's talking about here, this present age, and it breaks it down. So what it's talking about with all of this is that Messiah comes, in that 69th week. And then it says, then there's going to be another week of some things that are going to take place in the future. It's a prophecy of another week to come. And so the time runs until the coming of Messiah, and then there's a time out. And the time out is there from that time until the last week that is going to take place. And what happens in the last week? The last week that's going to take place is tribulation. Tribulation. Now we're going to get us another timeline here, and we'll show you that show this again here in just a minute. Okay, so we're looking at Old Testament tribulation here, but we're going to have another tribulation down here because there's a new day and a new deal that started. Okay, and so we got the 69 weeks that have run. Messiah has come. There's been a timeout that's been called. There's a prophecy of another week that's going to start and run continually at some point. And at the end of that, there's some other things that are going to take place. Are you with me or no? And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination she shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate there. So, what we have, let's go down here and let's put us a New Testament timeline in. Okay? Something new is going to start. There's going to be a time out in this situation here. And we have this tribulation, this time of Jacob's trouble that's coming for the Israelite and all of this stuff right in through here. But what we have is we have interjected here now. We have a timeline that looks like this right here. In a New Testament timeline. Messiah comes. He dies, but not for himself. He dies for you and me and everybody else. We got a new thing that started now. Okay? The desire is that those that are on this timeline right here would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Get off this track that we're in. To receive Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, and to be on this new timeline that we have out here with Him moving in that in this direction, in a spiritual direction. Get off this timeline, because if you do as an Israelite, guess what you get to avoid? This piece right here. This is for judgment. This is to get these folks back in line. But if you get in line here, you're not in line for that tribulation that's over there. We got a new day. We got a new process that he's using here. But we also know that there's going to be an event that takes place right down here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, tell us about this event. What is that event? Rapture. There's a rapture that's going to take place. Okay? Now, there's a whole bunch of other events that go on down through here, and I'm not going to get into all of that. Marriage, Supper of the Lamb, the Bema Judgment Seat, all kinds of stuff that are out here. And I'm not interested in looking at that at this point right here. Okay? And so, we have a new process that takes place over here. And when we talk about New Testament in this new process, what we're looking at here now are the last days. They began at Pentecost, at the giving of the Holy Spirit, and they will run until the Holy Spirit is taken out. Holy Spirit is here on earth working, but He's working in us. Amen. He's the restrainer. He's the one keeping back, holding back the floodgates of evil that are taking place. And those that come off this line are welcome into this line. And when you're welcome into this line and indwelt by that Holy Spirit, at whatever point that you leave this place at that point. You have a hope in the future for you. But those that are alive on the planet at some future day are going to be raptured out. Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of here. And then Scripture tells us about a man of lawlessness that shows up. The only way that a man of lawlessness can show up is when there's no Holy Spirit to restrain him and to keep him from doing what he desires to do. We have the rapture that takes place. So when we're talking about the New Testament timeline, all right, here we have the last days for the Israelite. But here we have the last days for those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the church age that we're talking about here. Okay? Have that church age raptured out. We're raptured out of this thing, and we return with Him when this mess is all over. Okay? And so there's some purposes for others to be in the tribulation other than Israelites with all of this. So it's not completely about the Israelite, but here's the same thing that takes place here, you see. It has to be here. This can't go away. It's in both of our timelines. Okay? Because God's going to do a work in that timeline right there. And then what's going to happen is, see, Jesus Christ comes back and sits on the throne of Jerusalem here. The timeline is the same again. Right back into it again. So this now is now the same timeline in the age to come. It's the millennium that we're talking about at this point down through here. With the great white throne judgment right down here. And hailed outer darkness over here. And a new Jerusalem over here, okay, that take place after that great white throne judgment, the age to come, where folks are going to be put in charge of stuff, and we're going to have Christ on the throne. He's coming back to Jerusalem and all of those things. So the timeline picks up and we're together on the same thing here. Very important piece that we have here. The tribulation is the commonality between the two. But the last days here, talking about the judgment prior to the age to come, and in the New Testament, the last days have already been 2,000 years worth. 2,000 years worth of time have we been in these last days at this particular moment right here. Okay, so I've probably confused everything and everybody. So what's John getting at? That's outer darkness, Gehenna, outer darkness here. That's that after the great white throne judgment. We get the unsaved, lost, outer darkness. And everybody else, the New Jerusalem. Yes, sir?
The Testament timeline has assigned weeks of years to it.
Yes, sir?
The church age has no assignment of time, right?
Correct. It's open-ended, but it's both open-ended because of the timeout, because of the pause, okay, that has been placed in there. Because, and that's what Daniel's talking about. He's saying these things have happened, and these things will happen at some point in the future, okay? It is stopped at this point, waiting for this event right here. This event right here triggers the beginning of the of everything for everyone, Israelite and non-Israelite included. Tribulation, the latter times in the Old Testament, the last days, the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of trouble such as never was. That's the tribulation period, and all of that.
Okay, Brother Brent, nothing else has to happen. The rapture can happen anytime.
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We're not waiting on nothing else. Now we're going to take a look at another word. Take a look at 1 John. Little children, spiritual babies. Oh, I got my book tore up. Okay. It's the last time, he says. So we're in the last time, last days. It is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Well, here's another thing that we got to look at. because he's putting a lot of pictures out here right now for us in all of this. He says, you've heard that Antichrist shall come. The Antichrist who shall come is a person who is identified. He's identified in a number of places. Vivid descriptions are given in Revelation. Person who comes, and he's going to head up the final world rebellion, if you will. Okay? He says, you little weak ones, it is the last time, and you've heard that this Antichrist will come. He's going to come and rebel against all things Christ. Okay, let me take a look at 2 Thessalonians for just a minute. 2 Thessalonians, this will give you a description of that cat. I'd already told you about that just a few moments ago. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, take a look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the one that's to come, the Antichrist to come, the rebellion against God. Go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, looking at verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months is half of the tribulation, by the way. Midpoint he shows up and he begins to rebel against the things of lead a rebellion against the things of God. So this is talking about the Antichrist right here. Okay. Blasphemies, power, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear at that point. So there's an Antichrist that's coming, boys and girls. That's what John's saying. He's saying, okay, boys, it's the last time. And we know, you know that there's an Antichrist coming. Okay, you've heard this, and you know that the Antichrist is coming. Now, don't fall asleep on me. He's kind of with him. Now, don't fall asleep on me. Yeah, he's coming. This Antichrist is coming, but you need to be kind of concerned about that. Okay, now you need to be concerned about that now, not just when it happens at some point down the line here. You need to be concerned before that happens, because then he goes on to tell them why they ought to be concerned. Why should they be concerned? Because even now are there many antichrists whereby we know that it's the last time. How about that? Now we got that last time showing up again, and he says there is one coming that is going to be trouble. He is big trouble coming, but what you have to understand is that they are here now. These antichrists are here around us, among us now, if you will. There are those in this world who are against Christ, and they're against him now. So he's not just talking about this person who's coming to rebel, but he's talking about a spirit that is in this world. And people that are in this world who are carrying on that work of being against Christ, pulling people away from Christ to themselves, to their ideologies, to their philosophies, to their way of looking at things. He's saying there's a huge danger here. You don't just be worried about one that's going to show up and make war. We have those that are slippery, sneaky, quiet, coming in here amongst us now. Many antichrists that are coming in to pull you away from the real deal, you little babies. They're coming in to pull you away, you little babies, because you don't know the truth. This is what he's getting at with them. And he goes through this big, long stuff. But who's he talking to? He's talking to folks that understand all of that top part. And they haven't got it all figured out yet. They understand this part up here real good. That's where they come from. That's where they come out of. And then they started adding some pieces to that and some elements of different things down in through here. And they're like, it seems like to me that they're all hopped up on it. You know what? Most of the time, when believers get saved, what is the first thing that they want to look at? Want to look at what's going to happen. It's prophecy. Prophecy, it just gets a hold of new believers. They just want to know everything about what is going to take place out here. And thinking about all that stuff. And I have an idea that these guys right here, these believers, these youngins right here, were doing the same thing. Oh, and you know, when's this going to happen? And when's that going to happen? Hello? And when's this one going to show up? And you know, how's it going to look when we get to here? And how's it going to look and all this sort of thing? And I think John's telling them, that's nice. But all that's here. It's here now. And you're not seeing it. You're not seeing it because you got your head stuck up over here thinking that you're looking at something that's going to come one of these days. Instead of being grounded in the things of God now and seeing what's happening right here before your very eyes in your own church, if you will. And so there's a warning to us right there, right off the bat, little children. Why are we wanting to know about things way off out here when we're not dealing with things we ought to be dealing with here? Getting with the truth. Standing on the truth of the things. Light and dark, and I'm sincere, and I believe, and I just want to know about all this, and the pie, and the sky, and all this sort of thing right here. But we have no idea about how to tie things to truth in the here and now. To stay on a footer of truth. You heard that he's coming. And that there's, even now there are many of them here. That's how we know it's the last time. People trying to drag us away from one of these things. We need to know what we believe and we need to know why we believe it. We need to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. Not just being sincere about it, but knowing why we believe it. Satan's fighting Christ. And he's fighting truth. And he substitutes, counterfeits all along the way. Counterfeits everything, everywhere. Quit thinking that Antichrist is way off out there in the future and nothing to worry about in here in these last days, because the Antichrists are here. Most religions just want you to believe something. They want you to believe that, just believe in whatever it is that they're putting out there. Don't ask questions, just believe it. Don't question me on this. Just believe it because it just needs to be believed. Okay? I mean, I mean, there's so many different things, you know, that it's like Whoppers, man. How are you going to believe this Whopper that somebody's giving you here? Well, you just have to believe it. Okay? You don't ask no questions. Just take it for what it is. Or they want you to do what's right according to what they say is right. Nothing else. You can't substitute anything. You got to do it this way and no other way. It has to be exactly this way or you're not in. Okay? Or others want you to just do what feels natural to you. Yeah, just do what feels natural. What's natural?
Sin.
Exactly. That's what's natural. That's what comes natural to you. All right? That's why we have to fight against the nature that we have.
Brother Brett, may I ask you a question on that?
No, ma'am. Oh, Lord, have mercy. There's too many of them to even number.
In our area?
Watchmen on the Wall, go out there. They've got watchmen.org. They've got a listing of churches, cults, and things out there. I think the number's over 6,900 now. So 6,900 cults that are around that you need to avoid. So I don't have time to, you know, take a look at all the ones that... that I need to. Oh, there's two or three of them up and down the road here. I'm not going
to
get into that. No, you're here. You're here. You're here. You're here. No, you bring them here. Get them saved and get them here. Don't send them off down the road. Get them over here where they need to be. Okay? So, most of these places that I'm talking about here don't want you looking at them. They don't want you looking at what they believe, and they don't want you looking at their founder. They do not want to talk about their founder. They don't want to talk about the one that got things started. They want to talk about everything but that. And the difference is that we want to talk about the founder. And we invite people, look at the man. Look at him. Take a good, long, hard look at him. Investigate him. I mean, do your research on Jesus Christ. We are not scared of people to look at Jesus Christ. Take a look at the resurrection. Look at it. Study it. See what the evidence is for the resurrection. Because what did Paul say? If there's no resurrection, what we are into is vain. There is no point in being what we're in if there is no resurrection. We invite people to take a look. Invite people to look at that, at Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Come take a look. Come see Him. You won't find that with the cults. They don't want you looking and digging around in whoever it is that they followed off out into the middle of the horse weeds out there. Because they're men. They're men that that came up with something out there. And so they don't want you looking at the messy lives of these men that these folks are following in these days. And we're completely different with all of that. Christianity is different. We want people to take a look at all of that. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifested that they were not all of us. Then he gives us a test. Gives us a test of those that are numbered in the household, into the family of God right here. He says, if they were really of us, they'd have stuck with it. The fact that you can't find them is a bad sign. Now, that may not be 100% those folks didn't come to know Christ, but he says, boy, it's a pretty good sign that if they left out of here, that they didn't have what they said they have. We're going to get into that a little bit deeper next week. I don't want to gloss that over. I want to make sure that we get into that one right there, because we make too many excuses for too many people. We make too many excuses for too many people who are off out here running around doing what they do. We want to give them the benefit of the doubt instead of treating them like this tells us that we ought to be treating them. Rather than treating them as saved people that are just a little misguided and off out there and backslid, maybe what we need to do is change our tack on that and treat them as lost people until they show different. And so this is what he's getting at with that right there too. There's a test, he says. Give them a test. Are they still with you? Are they still sticking by the stuff? Or have they gone off somewhere and gone away? We'll get into that deeper next week.